Today on Real Radio.
When we come to the commandment, thou shalt not kill. How does that relate to war? How does that relate to capital punishment or our judicial system? People are debating this in classrooms, and the Ten Commandments answers this.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack Hibbs begins a new topical series on a very hot subject. It's the Ten Commandments. Now, throughout the next few weeks, Pastor Jack's going to break down the meanings and the history and the language of each of the Ten Commandments. And on today's introductory study, we're going to take a look at the importance of why we've got to take this summary of the law of God very seriously. Now, let me encourage you to spend some time with us the next few weeks really getting into this Ten Commandments series because it's going to make a big difference in your life. The title of today's lesson, Why the Ten Commandments? Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
Listen, grab your Bibles and turn, if you would, to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, I'm going to ask you to park your bookmarker or your finger right there, Exodus chapter 20, mark it, and then go back to the New Testament to Matthew chapter 5. Just hold your places right there if you would. Exodus chapter 20 and Matthew chapter 5. And tonight we look at the introductory teachings of the Ten Commandments series. And tonight we're going to be asking this question, why the Ten Commandments? Why now? And what is it all about? Ten Commandments series, we'll be doing a 10-week series on this. And I think you know by now, church, that it's one of the most controversial issues of our day, believe it or not. The Ten Commandments in America, it's constantly being protested for or against. There are lawsuits currently in the court system throughout America regarding the Ten Commandments. And school teachers, for example, have been reprimanded because they've had the Ten Commandments in their class. I'm thinking of a U.S. federal judge who was ordered by the courts to remove from his courthouse the Ten Commandments. Judge Roy Moore. And you begin to ask this question, what's the deal with the Ten Commandments? Especially in the age and time that you and I live in, the Ten Commandments. What on earth is so dangerous about the Ten Commandments? We allow pornography to be blasted on televisions and very erotic commercials that are offensive. We have language that's on like satellite TV or satellite radio, these uncensored programs where people are dropping all these cuss words. And when challenged, they say, it's my freedom of speech. And I want to say here tonight loud and clear that the United States used to be a nation of freedom of speech. Now it's selected freedoms for whatever a certain group might be saying. There is no longer a blanket freedom of speech in America. Our liberty in America is a perception that has evaporated, but it's perceived. Our freedoms are a perception. Our wealth, you now know, and I said this years ago, is a perception. It's not a reality. Though we have the strongest military in the world, no doubt about it, the greatest trained, the smartest soldier, no doubt about that. As a nation, we are probably one of the weakest in the world when it comes to the political will, when it comes to our military. It's a very interesting time that the United States is going through. You say, what are you talking about that for, the Ten Commandments? Well, you're going to be a little bit surprised, I think. Because in America today, the Ten Commandments, that is a hotbed of argument and debate. And if you're a young person in here tonight, and I know there are a lot of young people in here tonight, I'm going to encourage you for the next 10 weeks, you're going to want to be here. You'll be surprised because the stuff we're going to be talking about is a debate that's going on your campuses from junior high to college. We're going to be talking about what does the Bible say versus what does the culture say, for example, about, well, when we come to the commandment, thou shalt not kill. How does that relate to war? How does that relate to capital punishment or our judicial system. People are debating this in classrooms, and the Ten Commandments answers this. The value of life, the existence of God, relationships one to another. It's amazing what the Ten Commandments holds for us in Scripture. And so, with your finger there, in Exodus chapter 20, look at verse 2. The Bible says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And that is very, very key language. I am the Lord, Yahweh, your God. That's his name. I am Yahweh, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. You guys know that Egypt, in a New Testament typological sense, is a picture of the world system. The world of sin binds us up. Before we came to Christ and experienced his salvation, we were bound by sin and held captive by the whims of sin. He says, I've brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. God is speaking to the children of Israel, and right there in Exodus 20, he's just in the opening preamble of giving to Moses, and of course to the children of Israel, the great Ten Commandments. Now go to Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. It is vital that we understand this. Is the Old Testament for us to study? Yes. Should we know it? Absolutely. In fact, I do not believe you can properly understand the New Testament without studying the Old Testament. I think I shared with you guys just recently, a week or two ago, whenever it was, I got back from Israel and I had told you guys about the story of that man who said, oh, you're a Christian because you read the New Testament. I said, no, that's not true. I said, I'm a Christian because I've read the Old Testament, and of course I read the New, and I was happily blessed to find out that what is brought up in the old is answered in the new. God says, and we'll look at them tonight, the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, but in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, listen to what Jesus says. He says, do not think that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Jesus Christ is telling us that not only do the Ten Commandments matter, but all of the Word of God given from Genesis to Malachi, church, if I have this ability tonight to influence you, I would be happy if you leave tonight with this in mind, that your Bible, there is a reason why God has kept for us in the 21st century the Word of God completely intact. You own a Bible with the Old Testament for a great reason. And one of those great reasons is the revelation of God's righteousness and holiness. God is unbelievably holy and righteous. Amen. You see, what does that mean? He is not a human. He's not a really, really good, big person with a lot of time on his hands. He is the eternal God who the Bible says is spirit, and for him to manifest himself to mankind, he sent his son Jesus Christ and he took upon himself the form of a human being. Man, I love that kind of talk. God came down and he can make an announcement that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. And if that wasn't enough, he says, hey, I tell you what, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, I'm going to be betrayed, I'm going to be sold into the hands of sinners, and I'm going to be beaten, and I'm going to be crucified, but in 3 days I'll be resurrected from the dead. And he did it. My God can do that, and I hope your God can do that too. So then why is our culture at war with the Ten Commandments? Why is our culture at war? Listen, before I read that quote, it's because the Ten Commandments, listen, are 10 absolutes that cannot be denied, only rejected. Will you mark that down? The Ten Commandments cannot be denied, only rejected. The Ten Commandments. They stand as a bulwark of God's heart, announcing his righteousness. You can't deny the Ten Commandments. You can reject them. And for that reason and more, as we'll see tonight, it's one of those arguments that people will say, we cannot have the Ten Commandments in American society today. Listen to what our good friend Ken Ham says. Secularism, with its moral relativism, is in direct opposition to Christianity. That's our modern day way of thinking, humanistic existentialism. Watch this. He says, Christianity and its absolute morality. The battle is between these two worldviews. You ought to mark that. The battle is between these two worldviews. One that stands on God's word and the other on man's opinions. That's a great statement by Ken Ham. It is God's word versus man's opinions. And you need to hear that tonight. God makes his statement. Don't you love it? God never apologizes for one thing he has ever said. He doesn't say, oops. He doesn't say, let me rephrase that. He doesn't say, Moses, that's not exactly what I meant. No, you know what God says? God says, I love it. In the Bible, it says in the first verse, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Did you know that the Bible assumes that people who read it understand that the heavens have an engineer? I love that. Can someone say amen?
Amen.
I love that. The Bible assumes you're smart enough to go outside and look at a bug or look at a leaf and hold it up to the light and see all of the amazing engineering skills of God. Or if you don't want to go outside, get a microscope and look at a blood cell. And if you don't fall down on your knees and say, God, you're a genius, then honestly, there's something wrong with you. In fact, listen, in the beginning, you've got this entire Old Testament revelation. And it's very cool because as you look at the record of God, there were no atheists. People believed in the Lord God or some God or gods. Think about it. It wasn't until, I guess, during the time of Psalms that the first fool showed up, because David writes, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The Bible doesn't apologize for what it says. You say, are you sure you're supposed to be talking about the Ten Commandments? You are going to be blown away as these weeks unfold how amazingly powerful and exciting the Ten Commandments can be. Now, before we get into that series, we have to have this much needed introduction. Note takers, jot it down. In fact, I'm going to give you a bunch of scriptures here in a second. You can write them down or you can watch. But 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. This is in the Greek Amplified Version. And the reason why I selected that for this particular quote is because of the magnitude of it. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 4. It says, but understand this, that in the last days, perilous times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with, hard to bear, will set in. For people will be lovers of self and utterly self-centered, lovers of money and aroused by an inordinate greediness of and desire for wealth. You guys, this is 2,000 years old. Proud and arrogant and contemptuous boasters, they will be abusive, blasphemous, scoffing, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, profane. They will be without natural human affection, callous and inhuman, relentless, admitting to no truce breaking. Ooh, I didn't do it. They will be slanderers, false accusers, internet, bloggers. I'm kidding, but a lot of them make stuff up. They don't know what they're talking about. Troublemakers, intemperate, loose in morals and conduct, uncontrolled and fierce, haters of good. They will be treacherous betrayers, rash and inflated with self-conceit. They will be lovers of sensual pleasures and vain amusements more than lovers of God. Oh my goodness. That looks like today's news. You see, what does that have to do with the Ten Commandments? The Ten Commandments is God's holy revelation of his standard. You want to know why people don't want to have the Ten Commandments displayed? Because it makes them feel bad. Did you know that? Yes, Pastor, that's why we shouldn't have them displayed. Oh my goodness, you have swallowed the dope or the opiate of our culture. You say, well, you don't want to be offensive, do you? I don't want to be offensive. I don't want to sign up to offend anybody. But this one thing I know, the gospel, if I'm true to preaching the gospel, if I'm true to preaching that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, offensive, why? I said the word sin. See, the Ten Commandments stands as God's holy revelation to man, and people don't like it. People are not supposed to like the Ten Commandments that way. This is very, very remarkable. Our culture, please understand, our culture has gone so crazy the other way that we've become intolerant of what is good, and we will radically tolerate anything that's bad, and we will even drape it with a constitutional freedom that is founded in the Judeo-Christian Bible and the Ten Commandments, according to our founding fathers. Very interesting. Convoluted thinking. So listen, we're going to go through the ten because it's the introduction. But next week, we're going to pick the first commandment. And we'll have a great time with that. Tonight, we're going to do an overview and we're going to do an explanation. First commandment, mark it down. Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. And by the way, the first four are what we call vertical commandments. Vertical. That is our relationship between ourselves and God. They're vertical commandments. Number one, Exodus 20, verse 3. You shall have no other gods before me. That's what the Lord says. No other gods before me. Why? Number one, gods are man-made. They carve them out and they bow down to them and they worship them. They cannot help anyone. You say, well, that's kind of rude of God. Why can't somebody have whatever God they want? You can have whatever God you want, but God loves you more than your freedom to be dumb. You can be dumb, but it breaks the heart of God, because at the end of the day, when your earth shakes or when you're abandoned by this world, you ain't got no God. And ain't no God that got you. Because you have fastened your hope unto a thing, a pleasure, a love, a pursuit, something that you trust in. God says, no. Number one, first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. Second commandment, it's a vertical commandment. Exodus 20, verses 4 through 6. You shall not make for yourself a carved image in any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. Verse 6, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. The vertical relationship is to love God and to have no images to bow down to. And you say, we would never do that. Well, this is 21st century. Listen, every culture has had its gods. Whenever we turn from a personal relationship, listen, religion can be a god. You can miss heaven altogether being very religious. You know, today I was driving. I was actually coming here, and I pretty much see all the cars that are in our community here. And I was coming down Chino Hills Parkway, and I saw a big black wheels, black tires, black windows, black car. It was a big, brand new. Guys, you'll know what I mean. Girls, they won't have a clue. It was a really low, squatty Porsche. It looked mean. And the guy went by. And for a moment, I went. Because that's something that I have to fight. I don't want to own it. I don't want his insurance payments. I don't want his car. But I would like to drive it for about a day. And that car went by, and the Lord goes, Jack, focus, Jack, smelling salt from heaven came under my nose. Now look, that guy, maybe he cares less about that car, I don't know. But God knows I cannot have that kind of car. because I would park it in my garage and wash it and wax it and then wax it and wash it. Somebody wants to touch it. Don't touch it. Why? It seizes your affection. It grabs onto you. God says, listen, you shall have no other gods before me, number one, and you shall not bow down to anything. Number three, Exodus 20, verse 7, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. That's the third commandment, a vertical commandment. Another vertical commandment is commandment number four, Exodus 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The fifth commandment is now not vertical, but horizontal. This is how we relate to one another. The first four is our relationship to God, and the lower six is our relationship to one another, horizontally. The fifth commandment, the Bible tells us, Exodus 20, verse 12, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord God is giving you. God has ordained the mom and the dad over a family. That's God's plan. The sixth commandment, horizontal again. Exodus 20, verse 13. You shall not murder. You shall not murder. Some of your Bibles say the word kill, and that's unfortunate. The word actually means murder. You ought to mark that down in your Bible. Some of you young people, you need to mark that down. That's going to be on your campus. You will debate that in school. The word in Hebrew is not kill, it is murder. There's a big difference between killing and murdering. Big, big difference. That's going to be a fun week when we come to that one. Just because of what's going on our college campuses. Very important. Number seven. The seventh commandment, horizontal, Exodus 20, verse 14, you shall not commit adultery. Sexual immorality is the word. Number eight, the eighth commandment, horizontal, it's this, Exodus 20, verse 15, you shall not steal. Now remember, all of these things you cannot post in a public place or a public school, in many places, not all, but in many places in America. The ninth commandment is, verse 16, Exodus 20, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. That means lie. You shall not lie. And the tenth commandment, again horizontal, the tenth commandment is, verse 17, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You shall not covet his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey, nor anything that your neighbor has, including his Porsche and all that kind of stuff. And the word to covet there, as we'll look at it in our final week, is to lust after it, and you begin to act it out. You begin to figure out, how can I get that guy's wife? How can I steal his lawnmower?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Why the Ten Commandments. Now, this is an introductory study of the topical series that we're presenting over the next few weeks here on Real Radio. Again, if you can, set yourself a reminder to be with us every day, because this is a real meaty issue, the Ten Commandments. Again, the title of today's message, Why the Ten Commandments. It's part of Pastor Jack's series through this exploration of the summary of God's law, if you will. And we'll continue with more of it on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, recently, we presented Pastor Jack's series through the New Testament book of James, and it was a good one. Now, if you missed it or you missed any part of it, here's the good news. For your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you the entire series all on one MP3 CD, so you can listen to it anytime, day or night. That's Pastor Jack's entire series through the book of James, all on an MP3 CD for your gift of any amount to the outreach of Real Radio. Simply visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org, and you'll see right where to point and click. It's no big deal. Realradioactive.org. Or you can give us a call if you'd like. Our telephone number is 1-877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.